Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello, welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 36 for December 19th, 2013. This is the Christmas show, I think. I don't know. I'm Owen Swelling.
I'm Matthew the Warning Shot.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
You are not. Stop saying you're Ron Burgundy. Clearly Toby Lee's Ron Burgundy.
Not this week. This week it was Styx, and Styx said it was Paul's fault, and Paul said, I wrote the notes. I'll take the blame. I think Toby said it's everybody else's fault but mine. They did it again.
So whose fault is it?
Basically, I don't know. But I told Styx to go back to his home on Whore Island and call him a whore and then threaten to punch him in the ovary.
Oh, because those are quotes from the movie. We should mention that so new listeners don't go, I'm cutting out now.
Yeah, a lot of the inside jokes are Ron Burgundy references. Or
Anchorman
references.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
So. All right, so I am Trevor Frelott, a.k.a. the Frelatte.
A.k.a. Go. Ron Burgundy.
A.k.a. Trevor Frelott.
Awesome. So what did everybody do with guns this week?
All at once?
Oh, look, I'm first.
So, Trevor, you go too, because he said everybody, so that's all of us.
Right. We all talk all right. at once.
All right, ready, go. Well, so to Friday, start off, what I did was...
Oh, that's great.
Owen, you're up first, so let me ask you, what did you do with guns this week?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Matthew.
Oh, you're welcome.
I didn't do a lot, actually, this week, but I did get a few parts in. I got a shotgun. I got a shotgun for my flashlight.
And you certainly did, because that flashlight's huge. It was almost like your shotgun's attached to your flashlight.
It's not that big.
It's not that big, but I mean, it's bigger than, like, say, a D-cell, you know, mag light.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be about the same length as my Fenix LD20.
Fenix. You can call it Fenix if you want. I mean, you don't have to always be right.
And... but it's bigger round, so, yeah.
Now, how many lumens does that puppy put out?
Well, I didn't charge the battery all the way up, but the package says 1,000 lumens.
Wow.
What?
That's a bright flashlight. Let's just say he pointed it at the webcam when I was talking to him on Skype, and basically he blinded me through my own computer monitor. It was bright.
Yeah, I can shine it on a light in the room, and I can see the light on the light.
Yeah, it makes the light look dim.
The battery's not charged up yet.
What kind of... Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Mostly your stuff is boring, so I tuned you out. What kind of flashlight is this thing?
A very bright one.
It's a really cheap eBay special. What is it? Ultrafire. So it's probably just Chinese crap, but...
A Surefire knockoff?
I guess. It's supposed to be made by Cree. I think some of the parts are Cree.
See, here's the thing. Cree makes LEDs.
Yes.
So it has a Cree LED in it. So yeah, the flash. Yeah. Yeah. So
the other part of the flashlight, which is basically just aluminum, is made by Ultrafire. At least that's the name on it. Right. But it came with kind of unique batteries, rechargeable batteries. It came with a charger, and it came with a rail mount and a remote switch.
Really? How big are we talking here? Is it going to look out of place on an AR?
You know the flashlights that Owen and I carry everywhere we go?
Yep.
It's about that size, slightly bigger
that
around.
Length, and it's probably about an inch round.
That's long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good 5 inches.
It mounts pretty much exactly from my front sight on my shotgun to my red dot on my shotgun.
Yeah.
It's offset. It's not centered. It's offset off the top. It definitely looks like a space gun now with the wire running down.
But basically, you can turn it on at night and basically just light the sky back up again.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, the sunset. Oh, aren't you cute? Just turn the light back on. There we go.
Yep.
You won't have to worry about. You won't have to worry about getting blinded by muzzle flashes if you ever have to shoot inside your home.
Yeah, you'll be worried. You know, turn the thing on, blind everybody in the house.
Yeah. 1,000 lumens. Can you tan underneath that?
Well, it's an LED, so probably not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, anyway, so I got that came in, so I mounted that and rigged it all up and ran around the house shining it at stuff.
And so when are your kids going to be able to see again?
No, not at them, just at stuff. Oh. And the Glock sights, I ordered a set of Trigicon Glock sights.
Those are the glow-in-the-dark ones?
Yep.
It's got the tritium?
Yep. So they came in.
So those must look awfully dim compared to your flashlight.
Yeah, I haven't mounted them, of course. They're still in the package. I haven't even taken them out of the package because I don't want to take them. I don't want to put them on until I have an opportunity to go to the range right away.
Yeah, you don't want to have unsighted in Glock.
Yeah, I don't want to have my own gun.
Do you also, what I could do is, Matthew might be here in a couple of weeks, and he's picking up a package for you. I could include the rear sight tool that I have here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make sure that you push the rear sight out right and not ding up your brand new Trigicon sights putting them in.
Sure.
And then take it to the range, and you can make adjustments right on the spot because they're not adjustable. Like that Glock target sight that you have.
Yep.
Also, double check, Owen. I think Glock sights go in from the left and out from the right or vice versa.
They go in from the right. They go right. If you're looking at the back of the gun, they go right to left.
Perfect. Okay, so you're already aware.
No, I've never taken a front sight out, so that's one thing I have to do.
I have that tool as well if you need it.
Yeah, I've never done that.
So okay, you don't get tools to install the sights with the sights?
I should have done that, but
I didn't know. Like some sights, like whenever I buy a scope, sometimes it comes with the Allen key, right? So I didn't know if this would come with a front sight tool or whatever.
I never looked in the package, but I doubt it.
I doubt it, yeah. Anyway, remind me, Matthew, when you're here, and I'll come up with those.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll totally remember, because...
Okay, good.
So that, I'm afraid. The only other thing that's quasi-gun related, I bought a very high-end backpack.
That's not gun-related at all. Oh, wait, yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
And it has a rifle holster, basically.
Well, scabbard.
Like
scabbard, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a Eberle stock backpack, and it has the gun scabbard between the pack and you. So that was kind of cool, sticking my different guns in, seeing which one fits and how they fit. And
so which one fits the best?
Well, they all really fit.
30-30 probably?
It fit. Well, it's pretty big. I can put anything with a scope. I can put my AR in there, even with a mag in it.
Oh, good.
I
think the 30-30 would look badass in there.
Yep. There's like a tail that kind of it tucks up inside the backpack, and you pull it out and then put your gun in.
Yep.
So you can tuck it up when you don't want to use that. But some of my shorter guns, like the AR and the 10-22, the KSG, if I fold it down, they just kind of disappear. I guess not the 10-22 so much, but... So I can actually leave that up and put them in. Like the KSG just kind of comes level with the top of the backpack with it folded up. So anyway, you can run it both ways. It's a pretty awesome backpack. So I'm looking forward to using that this winter.
Yeah.
Rocking around. Save having to sling my rifle or having to carry it.
Yeah, I know. Having to carry a gun around, it's horrible.
Yeah,
it's a chore.
Pretty much. Sure. I don't like guns. I mean, they're just touching them, and it just kind of creeps me out, gives me the crawls. So if I have a place I can put it, and it's kind of behind me, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, then it's safer that way, too, and you don't get the stinky oil on you.
Wouldn't want the gun to accidentally shoot me.
See, because I'm pretty sure it's the oil that contains the evil.
So
especially
Owen,
if you're using Slipstream. It has nice. That live nanotechnology in it that is creepy crawling all through.
It invades your bloodstream.
Right.
Yep.
Yes, Trevor.
It was nice having you on the show. Sorry to hear you don't like guns, but
we're gonna have to let you go now.
Yeah, we're gonna let you go from a bridge.
Yeah. So that's about all I did, Trevor. How about you?
spent some money.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
This doesn't sound like you at all.
Oh, I forgot to mention my upper and lower came in.
Oh, excellent.
So they've been here over a week now, still in the package.
And you neglected to tell us about this last week because...
He wasn't on the show.
Wasn't on the show.
You were driving halfway across the continent. Right. Yeah. I guess that's a viable excuse.
This time.
This time.
Oh, trust me, it won't happen again.
Yeah, you were telling me about the trip. It was definitely an experience.
Yeah. All right, so, Trevor.
Speaking of the upper and lower, Owen, I've got a box full of air goodies for you to give to Matthew when he goes down so you can get that build underway maybe a little quicker than you anticipated. Awesome. There's barrel nut, the dust cover, and pin and everything. Like, basically, there's an upper parts kit. Charging handle, which I think you already have one anyway. Receiver plate, that handguard we talked about.
Cool.
Buffer, spring, some little
odds and ends. This is an awesome deal for me because you're basically trading all of that for a rear Glock sight.
That I gave you?
Yeah, exactly.
it's my Merry Christmas to you used AR parts. Actually, a lot of them aren't used. Some of them are still in the package. I
have a trigger guard if you want it, but wait, it's an NEA, right? So it comes with its own.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
So. But yeah, so anyway, no, back to what I spent money on. I picked up some parts for my TruBore 2011 open gun. I got a gas pedal or thumb rest for it. I got a blast shield for the Seymour sight because the STI... Seymour sight mount doesn't have the built-in blast shield, so some people find that the gases coming out of the port can kind of mess up the lens on the Seymour sight, so I've got that on there to protect the lens. What else? Oh, and I put a double alpha magwell on this thing, and it's insanely big. It's made out of aluminum. It took some fitting to get it to fit onto the back of the aluminum grip. The STI aluminum magwell also didn't fit on the STI aluminum grip. It fit on the polymer grip, but didn't fit on the aluminum grip, so I had to fit that one as well.
Is that typical? I mean, these are pretty high-end guns, so is that typical for some fitting needing to happen?
I think it's just on the STI aluminum grip. The STI polymer grip is what they made it for, and it fits on that, but I've changed the grip on the gun, so...
Right.
But there's some fitting, I think. There was some... I bought an SVI light touch mainspring, or sear spring, rather. The three-fingered spring that's in the back of the 2011 and 1911-style gun grips.
Sure.
And it's supposed to... They called it light touch, and I thought it might be an upgrade to what I had, because my trigger was feeling a little heavy. It was a... maybe a bit over 2 pounds, so that's heavy, right? Anyway, it didn't fit. I had to file down the sides. There was almost tabs built into the spring, like as if, okay, if it doesn't fit, file these tabs down either side to get it to fit. So I did that. But the bottom part of the spring has a 90-degree bend in it at a right angle that fits into a slot in the grip. Also, in the original 1911 design, that functioned as a screwdriver to take off your grip panels. The screws in the grip panels were the same slot as that bend in that spring. And the whole idea of the original design was that soldiers could strip it completely apart inside the trench using the gun itself as tools. Anyway, this SVI light touch spring, the angle at the bottom wasn't the same. It wasn't 90 degrees, and it didn't fit into the gun right at all. So that was like $20 gone. So, and I'm going to show it to somebody who has more experience with this type of platform and see if what the deal is. Or maybe, because some SVI parts and STI parts are interchangeable, perhaps this is one that's not. I should go back and double-check the website and see if it said anything about that. So I got all the new parts on, and I've been dry firing just about every night this week, certainly for all of last week anyway. Just put some MIPSC targets up in the man cave. So while sitting down watching TV, I just practice transitions back and forth and mag chains back and forth and just trying to moving the dot around, like shaking my hand around to make the dot move, see how, you know, try and recover it. Also, you know, if you move the gun the right way, the dot just you have to, if you hold the lock the gun out in front of you and pivot, then you never lose the dot. If you start moving your wrists and moving the gun around that way, you lose the dot for sure. But once you have the dot, if you just pivot and don't move your wrists, you don't lose the dot. So that'll be important, I think, to get good at transitions. But when you fire, I don't know. You know, when you fire and the gun recoils, we'll see. Other than that, I brought Paul Furlot's 30-30 to be refinished. So hopefully that'll be done by Christmas. That'd be cool if it was, because he's coming from Ottawa for Christmas. So then I loaded some more 9mm for Remy and for Matthew. So Matthew, as I said, all your ammunition is done and ready to go. You've got about a quarter of your pound of powder left, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. So what I did was the 130 grain stuff was loaded, put back in the 130 grain box. The 124 grain stuff was loaded, put back in that box. So you'll have no problem to keep it separate.
Cool.
And then I tore down and degreased my Dillon 650. And we've talked before about, you know, you guys say, well, just don't clean your brass.
Right.
Well, one of the downsides to that is that the dirt and dust that's on your brass. And even if you clean your brass and your media the media in your tumbler is worn out and it's leaving a dust residue on your brass, that stuff gets all throughout your press. My press, this is the best thorough cleaning I've ever given my press. And a lot of the dirt was basically brass, dirt off of the brass and residue off of the brass. So it was an hour cleaning that thing before I set it up again and then started loading 9mm major rounds for my true bore. So loading 9mm major rounds is a little bit different than what I've loaded for 9mm in the past. I'm using 124 grain projectile, a small rifle primer, and 8 grains of powder. I didn't know you could get 8 grains of powder in a 9mm case.
Is it compressed?
Wow.
It's gotta be. Yeah, probably.
I'm putting three and a half in mine, and I mean they're fairly hot, but 3.5 and it fills the casing like halfway.
Yeah, different kind of powder though.
Oh, that's true. Could be a different powder.
Yeah. I'm running the bullet at 1.170. So I'm not sure what the maximum is. Maximum in millimeters is 29.69, but the number was given to me in standard, so I've been just set my calipers to standard measurement.
Yep.
Anyway, it'll be interesting. I've got 200 loaded there so far, so hopefully on Sunday it'll be nice, and I'll get out and give those a try. And in between, before I started the loading, I was working on sorting the oodles and noodles of brass. I didn't clean any brass or sort any brass since March of last year. Everything I would take home would just get tossed in a bucket, mixture of 9, 40, 45, whatever I picked up at the range, rifle brass. And so I got buckets and buckets downstairs. I'm just listening to podcasts, dumping it, you know, a couple of, like half a bucket onto a cookie sheet on a table and just a couple of buckets in front of me and picking them up one at a time. 9mm goes in that bucket. 40 goes in that bucket. Surprisingly, it's going quick. So
I use my kids for that.
Yeah. Slave labor is the best kind of labor. Child labor, Child labor.
Yeah. Slave labor.
Child slave labor. Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. Awesome.
The only problem is every once in a while they'll get there'd be like a nine that'll get stuck inside of a 40, and they'll, of course, they just pick it up because it looks kind of like one.
Yeah, they don't know the difference.
That's right. So it gets through. So every once in a while, I'll have a little stoppage and have to take it apart and pull the out of the tube, you know, and pull the 40 out.
Take the child aside. Tell them they've lost supper. I know. this happens again. You'll lose breakfast too. Yeah. Now go change the tires on my truck. I know. Awesome. So that's, that's what I did.
Cool.
How about you there, McClatchy? What have you been up to?
I've been painting my living room.
Uh-huh. Yep. With guns?
If only. I do have a paint gun around here somewhere, a paintball gun. That'd be kind of cool. It probably wouldn't be very even, and it would never dry, but...
It's pretty psychedelic.
I thought you were doing the floors. Well, how did you go from the floors to the...
To the ceiling?
Yeah.
Wait, the walls? Paint. Well, basically, I had smart-ass remark there somewhere, but I can't think of one, so... because
not very smart ass, then, is it?
No, it's no good. I fail at this round. Anyway, no, I don't know. We have the flooring ready to go too, but painting seemed to be easier. I think the real reason, now that I think about it, is that if we slop paint on the carpet, nobody cares because the carpet's going bye-bye. So we figured we do the walls first.
Good plan.
Yeah. That way, if we slop on the carpet, nobody cares.
You know what, Matthew? I was supposed to come up over Christmas break and help you put that flooring down.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No?
Maybe March break. Unless you want to. I mean, if you want to come up.
We got other plans for March break, but...
We'll figure it out. Yeah, we can talk later about this, because this is a gun show, not a home reno show. basically what I was trying to go for there was my excuse for not having done much gun-related this week. Now... That being said, a huge shout-out goes to all the listeners of Slamfire Radio, and most especially to Thomas Donnelly and his friend, or at least acquaintance, Justin. You see, they found me a papoose. Remember last week, if you listened, which you didn't, so no, that's okay, but Trevor did. He knows that I've been looking for a Marlin papoose. This is a it's a Marlin 795.
Papoose.
It's not a papoose.
No, it's a papoose. It's papoose.
Okay. It is a Marlin 70.
There you go.
So the Marlin 795 is what I love. I have one. Jewel has one. The Marlin 70 is the same rifle, but with a shorter stock. The stock only goes to where the barrel starts, and then the barrel just screws on. You just stick the barrel in, it self-indexes, and you thread on a just a hand-tight nut that keeps the barrel on. So that means, of course, you can take it off. It stows in this pretty cool little bag that floats, so that if you tip your canoe or whatever, your rifle still floats down the river until you go snag it or whatever. But anyway, that's not why I wanted it. I mean, takedown rifles are cool. I used to have one. I had a U.S. survival rifle from Henry. It's the AR-7 knockoff. They're neat and all, but that's not really what I wanted. You see, I like all of my guns to have shorter barrels than what's normal. I like short barrels on guns. I don't know what it is. It's just, that's what I like. So of course the Marlin 795 comes with an 18-inch barrel, which is fairly short, you know, for a 22 as it is. The overall length of the gun's like 36 inches or something like that. So it's not very big to begin with, but I still wanted it shorter. I wanted a nice short one. I used to have one of those trapper rifles that has a 13-inch barrel based on the Savage. I think mine was the Stevens 300. And I'm getting a message here. Sorry, it distracted me. You must identify with short barrels. That's Owen. Well, you see, I kind of joked about this before. But
you could have just said that to him.
Oh, I'm trying to keep the show clean, guys.
Like. Jewel convinces me that it's because I'm not trying to compensate for anything. So the short barrels, there's no problems here. So anyway.
Owen, that's possibly the best funny you've ever made.
Yeah, too bad it was a Facebook quote or a Skype message that interrupted my line of thought, but that's okay.
Now you know how it feels.
Yeah, well, it's better if it's live, but anywho, I wanted a short barrel. I wanted a 14-inch barrel, actually. Would have given me the perfect length on the 795.
That's what she
said. Was what I wanted. 14 inches, yep. And so anyway, I contacted the Canadian company, Delasque, that manufactures barrels, and I asked them, how much would it be for you to make me a 14-inch 795 barrel? And they basically said, go away, because we're not interested in you. Basically, it wasn't worth their time to make me a barrel. So I was like, okay, I will look elsewhere. I know they don't exist, but whatever. So anyway, I'm just searching around online and just kind of looking at different things. And the Marlin 70 pops up, and I just start looking at its specs. Well, it comes with a 16-inch barrel. No, that's not 14 inches, but it's a heck of a lot closer to 14 than 18 is. So I'm going to be making my Marlin 795 basically I'm going to take the Marlin 70 and put in the 795 stock. So it'll take a bit of, you know, Dremel work and stuff to make it fit, but I'm going to do it nice and neat and make it look really cool. And I'm going to have the only 16-inch 795 rifle around. So that's basically what I'm doing with that. And it's weird, and not anybody else does these sort of things because they are quite happy with the rifles the way they come from the factory, because I'm sure they come from the factory for a very good reason, because they work just fine the way they are.
Well, but the majority of people aren't as weird as you.
I needed a winter project, and I figured this would give me something to do.
The living room, it wasn't enough.
No, I need something gun-related.
Made a Frankenstein thing.
A Frankenstein. Well, it will match my AR. And the cool thing is, it's stainless steel, the one I'm getting. So it's going to actually be a black stock with a stainless barrel, just like my AR. And it's also going to match my Ruger SR9, because it's a black polymer grip with a stainless steel slide. So I'm going to have three guns that kind of match each other. So that's kind of cool anyway.
You know what? There's an SR9 for sale in Woodstock.
Oh, yeah? What are they going for there?
It was $500.
Was it brand new?
The guy shot a box of ammo through him and returned it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So basically...
and bought
basically
a Glock.
Brand new. Probably bought a Glock. Yeah, that's the other thing. I have been looking at Glocks. I've got my, you know, I got it, this idea in my head that I need a Glock 17, same as you two clowns.
Good idea.
So,
yep, good idea.
Thinking hard about idea. It. So if you see any good deals, let me know. I'll be looking at it.
You're a better shooter now than you were before.
Yeah.
You first had your Glock.
See, that's the thing, you know, when I sold my Glock all those years ago, I think it was 2 years ago now, I guess.
Oh, more than two. It was
maybe three. I don't know. I can't count past two anyway, so right. Might as well be two. Yeah, I couldn't shoot the darn thing. I couldn't hold it steady, and like I didn't have any sort of fundamentals in pistol shooting. I hadn't taken any courses. I had just bought it and taken to the range and started shooting it. And even dry firing, I could not keep the sight still. When the trigger broke, I just couldn't do it. The sights always moved. So I was like, well, clearly this gun is horrible. It's not me. It's the gun.
Well,
clearly.
That's exactly the same thing I feel about the Norinco.
Yeah.
The NP22 that I had.
Yeah.
I haven't shot it since then, but I bet I could actually shoot it now.
You probably could.
Yeah. Well, and Matthew, in all fairness, it could have been a little bit of you and a little bit of the gun.
Could have been.
There are some nasty Glock triggers out there. There's no two ways about it. You get Glock now. We can clean up the trigger without even changing any of the parts in it.
Keep it completely production legal.
Yeah, I believe the Glock is going to last longer than the SR9. And then we're all running the same platform, which is just really convenient.
And I can borrow all of your guys' mags.
Same as our ARs.
Yeah, no, I do like that idea, you know, being able to swap parts and mags and everything, you know. Running the same platform is a great idea, especially if we're all in the same area and at a competition,
you know,
or whatever.
That way at a competition, you know, if a part breaks, we can just borrow the part out of your gun.
That's right.
And shoot, and we'll switch it back so that you can shoot.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easy enough to do, right? Because they're Glocks, so we can just swap pins back and forth.
I also remember a time at the Woodstock range where you shot my Glock 17 and grouped better with it than you did with your own Ruger.
I do remember that as well.
Yeah.
And what I ended up doing was I swapped the back strap on my SR9, which gave me more of a Glock-like grip, ironically. Yeah. And actually, my groups did tighten up slightly with the back strap flipped around, and it still is flipped around. So
yeah. So if you were to shoot a 1911, you'd probably want an arched mainspring housing as well.
Probably.
It's interesting because on my Eagle, I have the arched mainspring housing, and I love it. Feels so good. But on my True Bore, I don't. And I don't really know if I want to change it either. But the grips aren't the same size either, so
yeah.
But if I had both grips the same size, I would definitely do that. So yeah, it just changes the angle of the gun in your hand, and maybe it's more ergonomic for you.
It could, you know, that could be it.
I mean, pretty much the only thing that Matt would want if he was shooting a 1911 is a garbage can.
What?
He did talk about wanting one in 9mm a little while ago.
That was a while ago. Yeah, true. I did kind of toy around with that idea.
That was a phase. I mean, that was just like potty training, you know. And
it was a bit of a phase. Yeah,
it was just a phase.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, that's what we've done with guns this week. So anyway, I do want to give a huge shout out to Thomas Donnelly for hooking me up with Justin, because Justin's a guy who... See, Thomas sold the gun to his friend, somebody or other, I forget his name, and then this guy sold it to Justin. And Thomas tracked all these people down and said, hey, do you still want that rifle I sold you? Basically is what he said. And they said, what? Who are you? And why are you calling about a gun? Anyway, not really.
What's a warning shot?
Who wants this? Anyway, yeah, so he sent me his phone number and I called him up and, yeah.
Fantastic.
So it should be here probably shortly after Christmas, maybe by New Year's. I doubt that with the way Postal Service is going recently, but...
Ask Bolivar.
yeah, but I saw Bolivar's Facebook status there. His package got routed to, like, Regina or something.
Yeah,
everything's got to go through Saskatchewan. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
If you're mailing something from one part of Ontario to another, it's normal that it goes to Saskatchewan.
Sure.
Toby mailed me a package, and it came into Canada, back out of Canada, and then into Canada again. Only UPS, man.
Yeah. Blame the gun dudes.
Brian's a very angry person, I've decided.
He's angry?
Seems that way.
You're right.
Angry at the world.
Every once in a while, his posts are just a little too negative for me. Yep. That's it. We hate him.
Because we're all pretty, Mr. Positive.
Yeah. Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
It means Owen's going to bring us the upcoming events, I believe.
That's right. Upcoming events, t-shirt orders. It's not an upcoming event. This is an ongoing event.
Yes.
Send an EMT to slamfireradio@gmail.com.
And we will get your shirt to you by the summer, probably.
This is how fast they are with shirts, guys. Brian's driving through the Maritimes. He drops his shirt off to Owen and Matthew. And then I get it at the Three Gun, which Brian attended. That's shirt delivery podcasting style, folks.
Yeah, don't expect it soon unless you measure time in eons. But no, we'll get it to you as soon as we can.
The more people that send us the money, the
quicker we'll get it made. Yeah, we're ready to get them made. We just need you to send us the money so we can pay the guy who's making them.
We prefer EMT. However, yes. If you're an American... America, and you want to send a PayPal, you can send a PayPal, and we can take care of that too. But we prefer EMT.
EMTs is nice, yep. Or cash. Send us cash. Pennies, preferably. We don't have any more pennies up here in Canada, so you Americans, you want to send us a box of pennies, that's cool.
Send us some Abe Lincolns.
What else? Yeah, speaking of t-shirts, I'm doing a Warriors Ethos t-shirt.
Hey, wrong show, same man. Come on. I'm kidding. No.
Man, what a rough crowd.
Yeah.
The crowd's fine. Your co-hosts suck.
I want one of your shirts, Owen. I like the look of your logo. I know I made it, and I'm really a little biased, but I really like it.
I took it into the guy, and he's like, I said, I got the logo here for on the t-shirts. And he says,
what is that?
No, he said,
that was me, remember? What's
this? I said, didn't you get my email? Because I emailed it to him. He said, no, I didn't get your email. He was like, just text it to me. I don't know anything below. I was like, is that going to affect the quality of it any or anything like that? He's like, oh, I'm going to have to rebuild it anyway. I was like, well, you might not, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty good quality.
Yeah, it should be pretty good quality. This guy, he kind of has an idea what he's doing. But anyway, so that's, hopefully happening soon. So anybody wants a t-shirt, just email and I'll see if I'll get you on the list.
That's warriorpodcast@gmail.com.
Exactly.
Way to plug your own show on our show. No, it's cool. I'm just
why not?
No, you
nobody,
really
nobody listens
no
to my show, so I
did
have
you even bother to tell them how much the shirts on our show cost? Did you get that far?
It doesn't matter.
Got that far yet.
Just send us a whole bunch of money.
I kind of got cut off before I got to that part.
Yeah. Okay, we'll finish our part.
$25. charity shoot.
And include...
include your full name and address and what you ordered in the message with the EMT. In other words, don't just say, I ordered a t-shirt. Say what size you want.
Yeah. And send your email. Don't forget to send the security question answer.
Yeah.
It's hard to cash EMTs whenever all they say is, I saw a rock. How was I supposed to know it was squirrel? Wait, no, that guy did actually send the answer.
He did. Password was squirrel.
That was an awesome one. Yeah. I read it. I'm like, I saw a rock. I wonder if the answer is squirrel. I went and looked it up. Oh, it certainly is.
So that's the thing, guys. You have to make your password show related. but don't use Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. I'm Ron, and then I have to put in Burgundy. I don't know how to spell Burgundy, so I'm not going to cash any of them.
So I'll use.
The charity shoot on June 28th at the Restigouche Gun Club with our very own celebrity, Steve Lee.
That's right. And he's ours. Nobody else.
He is ours. We own him. Yep.
We own him.
Steve Lee is a registered trademark of Slam Fire Radio.
Wake up to Steve. Steve's sleeping. Wake him up.
There's going to be a trap, apparently, so watch your step because there's going to be a trap, and some small bore silhouette rifle shooting and an Ipsic style mini match. It'll be a very tiny match with tiny guns and tiny bullets.
So 22 rounds then.
Shorts, yeah.
22 shorts, yeah. No, the mini match is cool, and the it's called Ipsic style because it's not a sanctioned match. And the cool thing about that is, if you don't have your black badge, you can still participate.
That's right.
So that's a really neat part about this. So
we will not discriminate against you this time.
Nope, this time.
Yeah. If you want to, and you're unsure of what equipment and how many rounds, etc., email us and we'll get back to you and let you know what you need to participate.
Yep. Yep, Trevor or Matthew. Well, I never checked the email. So when he says we, he means Trevor or Matthew. SummerSlam 8. This is a level 3 Ipsic match. It's on July 18th through the 20th. I don't know what else to say about that. It's probably
going to
be
awesome. That's all I got to say about that. If past events are any indicator, it's going to be really cool.
And according to Sal, after hosting the Nationals, this one's going to be a piece of cake.
I'm sure. Practical Armed Response Academy Shooting Course. He needs a shorter name.
Para
Shooting Course. Yeah. Parask.
Parask. Yeah, Parask.
Rask.
Well, leave the shooting course part out of the name.
Oh, so it's para then.
Yeah, it's just para. Practical Armed Response Academy. We'll be putting on a shooting course.
Yes, aimed for August 2nd and 3rd, and we're not going to know that until January, right? Early January.
It's like right around the corner. We will know
soon,
in a couple of weeks, if those are the dates.
Yeah, so those of you who've already booked off your vacation time, I hope we were right. Otherwise, you're going to be running to HR on Monday.
Yeah. So day one is defensive handgun with Mag 40 instructor Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes, whoever they are. And day two is an Ipsic mini match featuring SummerSlam's best stages, because everything will still be set up from 2 weeks before.
And it means less work for Trevor.
Exactly. And
for
this
us,
course,
don't
the
think
course,
you guys aren't coming to help.
What's this course, wee business? You got a mouse in your pocket?
The course is now full.
Right.
But don't despair.
There is a waiting list that you
There's
will never
a waiting
get
list.
Off of.
There possibly could be people drop off of the list, so... I don't know who's on the... I know there's one person on the waiting list. I don't know if there's any more. Two people on the waiting list, so still a chance to get in that. And now, is that limit for the Ipsic match as well? But people would
no,
want
the Ipsic
to come to that.
The Ipsic match is open to everyone.
Right.
Yeah, so the next day, anybody can participate in that. It's just that the actual course with Tommy is limited to, what is it, 12?
12 people, yeah.
12, and we have 14, so...
Yep. All right. Multi-gun, August 16th and 17th, 12 stages.
That's the three-gun thing that Trevor puts on every year, right. And it's usually pretty cool, too. So I'm looking forward to kicking both you guys' butts again this year. I only kicked one of your guys' butts, didn't I?
The more I think about it, the more I think you shouldn't have kicked any butts.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I pretty much tied Owen. I lost to him by like half a point. And then you were like sixth or something.
Owen, did you have to substitute your rifle in any of the stages?
No.
Also, Owen, did you have an RO hand you shotgun shells when you ran out of ammo on a stage? I'm just saying, I should get more credit for the win, Matthew. That's all. I'm like,
You didn't share your rifle with me. Oh wait, it was your rifle,
actually,
wasn't it? That's right. It was your rifle. It was just somebody else was using it. And yeah, it was you handing me shotgun shells on the.
You still missed.
Yeah. Sadly, we got that on video.
Yeah.
So there, get off your high horse. You would have zeroed
that
stage.
As you can tell, all of this is happening at the Restigouche Gun Club because it's awesome.
Yes, and we have a possible contest. We don't know when. We don't know.
There's probably never going to be a contest. Let's just face it.
Stop that until we figure it out.
Yeah. See, what we're gonna do is we're gonna hand out these really cool mag wraps, is what they are. Sure. And I had a look at them. They basically you put them on your mags, and they look they're pretty cool designs. They are actually really neat. I like them. It basically just kind of dresses up your mags and identifies them as yours and not somebody else's. I think what we'll do is just give them out at the charity shoot.
That reminds door prizes. Me, we need to get some sponsors for the charity shoot so we can have some door prizes.
Well, Mike Roast so far is our first sponsor because he already sent us four packs of door prizes.
Mike Roast is the sponsor, one of the sponsors of the charity shoot.
Yeah.
If only we knew a manufacturer of Air Beowulf mags, maybe they could step up and also help out. The three of us are going to have to start talking about that. All the other charities. Well, last year's charity shoot, we won't be able to touch that. I mean, it was just he put so much work into that and had a lot of contacts and a lot of resources. But I'm sure that we can come up with something to give away to the folks.
Oh, I'm sure I can find some slipstream somewhere.
Oh, excellent. Cool.
Yeah. So on to the news. We have a couple news items this week. Matt, do you want to take the first one?
Yeah, sure, why not? Baxter's Corner, New Brunswick. RCMP in New Brunswick say no charges will be laid in a shooting that killed a man late last year. And I believe we covered this back on CRR.
Yeah, it happened in September.
Quite a while ago.
I'm surprised that it came around again, but go ahead.
The Mounties say the Crown has, I'm going to put in here, finally determined that there is no likelihood, I love it, of conviction in Ryan Furlott's death because it can be argued that he was shot in self-defense. Three men, including the 31-year-old victim, were wounded after shots were fired at a vehicle on November 10th, 2012, in Baxter's Corner. Police say the shooting occurred during an altercation with a 35-year-old man who had been assaulted earlier that day in the St. John area. All the men were known to each other. The Mounties recommended that prosecutors consider charges of murder, manslaughter, and criminal negligence, but they say the Crown decided not to proceed with any charges after reviewing case law. RCMP say they argue with the Crown's decision. They agree with, because I was going to get back up on my high horse there in a minute. Yeah, who are they to argue with the Crown's decision? Anyway, RCMP say they agree with the Crown's decision and their investigation is now complete.
Thank you, Ian Thompson.
And the other stuff that kind of came down from that too, the Chen case there in Toronto.
Yeah, there's been a number of cases over the last couple of years that have kind of helped set some precedents in case law.
If you guys don't remember this story, basically what happened was this guy was assaulted by this carload of other guys, and then they decided that they were going to come over to his place and finish him off, and he caught wind of this and basically got home before they did, got out a rifle, and managed to defend himself from
They showed up with guns.
Right.
They were in the driveway. He met them at the door, and when he saw their guns,
when you go to somebody's house with guns, and that guy has guns too, it's perfectly reasonable, I believe, for you to defend yourself with said gun.
Yeah.
Really? Trevor never does that when I go to his house.
That's true.
And I show up with a lot of guns sometimes.
Yes, but generally you don't beat me up earlier in the day.
That's just because you haven't seen his sword collection yet and haven't been invited to beat him up like he invited me to.
So at the time this came out back in September, so it was a year ago in September, I had read that the RCMP weren't trying to file charges, so there must have been some pressure somewhere along the way, because this story was over and done with. And all of a sudden, over a year later, it's back in the news. And now we find out, according to this, the Mounties had recommended that prosecutors
charge. Are you telling me that the mass media gets things wrong sometimes?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that maybe somewhere along the way they changed their mind, because the initial reports of this was that he wasn't even held for 24 hours. They didn't.
But that doesn't mean they were not considering charges against him. That simply meant that they knew he wasn't a threat.
It's been over a year.
Yeah. But hey, that's how the system moves sometimes. It's that slow. Yeah.
So I wonder if this poor man was living day to day waiting
in limbo.
Them to say, "Yeah, we've decided to charge you. Call a lawyer."
That would suck.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad that it has come to this conclusion. I'm glad that this guy is, you know, safe and alive, and the other guys are, you know, not attacking him anymore. So, you know, it's a win. It's good for, you know, self-defense in Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wonder now, see, there's not been any precedent set by this because he was never charged. So nothing ever went to the court. So this technically does not set any sort of precedent.
No, it doesn't. But what it does do is it gives an indicator to the public, because yes, it's now in the media, that self-defense is now something that we can at least consider.
That's right.
You know, because before people have told me who don't know the law, who basically say, well, you know, you're not allowed to use a gun to defend yourself. That's illegal. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed if they use fists, you can only use fists. You're not allowed to, you know, you have to meet it with reasonable force is true, but if, you know, there is no reasonable force when your life is on the line, so.
Yeah, you don't have to meet force.
Yeah, there
force.
Is.
There was another case fairly recently, I don't remember where, I feel like it was in Ontario, there was actually a warning shot fired by an elderly man with a rifle.
Manitoba.
The Manitoba?
Most recent one, yeah.
Yeah, and the judge...
I talked about it on last week's show.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I will shut up then.
I sent that one in too, yeah. And I had a conversation with a police officer recently who said, you know, if a guy is at the bottom of your stairs and he says he's going to come upstairs and, you know, kill you and your wife and rape your dog, fire one round down the staircase into the floor to let him know you're serious. I'm like, you didn't just say that to me. You didn't just tell me to fire a warning shot. You know, it's illegal to discharge a gun, but it's not illegal to defend myself.
Right.
So, you know, he leaves and then I get arrested
for firing your gun in your house. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
because where's the proof that he was actually there? I mean, if right. I, you know, shoot my gun out my front door, I can just say, oh, there was somebody here. Yeah, right. Sure.
Turn exactly. And so it just goes to show, you know, that.
Even the police don't know.
Yeah, they don't all have an excellent understanding of what actually is legal.
Yeah.
You know, what was refreshing about that case in Manitoba was the judge actually said, referenced the new clarifications to the self-defense law.
Yep.
So he actually said, due to, you know, the changes in the self-defense law, the clarifications, you know, this is the reason why I'm making this decision.
Yeah.
You know, which is
fantastic.
Which is yep.
Yeah. We're moving in the right direction a little bit more every day, boys.
Yep. Slowly but surely. Maybe by the time I'm in a wheelchair, I'll be able to carry a gun. So, yeah. So, why don't, Trevor, you bring us this next story?
I actually wanted to bring the other one, but fine.
The other one? Whine about it some more, would you?
I'm going to. I only see two here. The Brunswick one. And this
oh, you Jason, wanted to do that one. Well, okay, never mind then.
Shotguns. I mean,
you just sit there, because there is a couple big words in here, like purpose and professional. So why don't you just sit and relax, and I'll take it.
No, I'm good. I got it. This one comes to us from Jason Philp. Announcing the Professional Sporting Clay Association, or PSCA. The purpose of the Professional Sporting Clay Association, PSCA, is to provide a professional tour for top athletes. Wait, hold on. That's like calling an archer who shoots a compound bow an athlete. Not very comfortable calling shotgun shooters athletes, but what do I know? This tour will give... It gets better. Listen to this. This tour will give qualified top athletes of the sport greater access. I'm just kidding. They're athletes. Will give greater access to closed competition with other athletes of similar skill. It will also provide access to media and other notoriety, which in turn will allow them all of the benefits of professional sports. By creating such an, you think we'll see the day when a clay shooter gets on, or a sporting clay shooter gets his picture on a Wheaties box? By creating such an association, the benefits will not be limited to the professional athletes, but also to amateur competitors, club owners, and the entire industry by allowing greater mainstream access acceptance of the sports. There is nothing like the beginning of something big. The PSCA plans to bring you something big indeed, with a TV show to be hosted on NBC Sports coming in July 2014. 60 new sporting clay professionals and a way for you to become one. The PSCA is ready for an amazing adventure. The inaugural Professional Sporting Clays Tour will begin in the spring of 2014. Their website and tour info is www.psca.com/gallery/. That's the link as it was copied into the email. So that'd be cool. A professional tour, a TV show.
Yeah, that's
that would be neat.
I do
any
like.
Any shooting sport that gets in mainstream TV like NBC.
Oh yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yep,
and then maybe we can get a good one in there.
Yeah, maybe some archery, right? Oh wait,
no, a good shooting sport. That's awesome. Thank you very much, Jason, for sending that in. And I wouldn't have picked on it so much if it had been sent by anybody else. Take that, you walnut-loving Albertan.
Awesome.
And Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, too.
So, yeah, moving on to the main topic / listener feedback, which is the main topic this week.
Which is?
Christmas!
Being the Christmas show and all, I guess the show before Christmas, we thought we'd do a little. Didn't you ask for that list last week? Didn't you? I gotta start listening to these shows.
See, Trevor sent out a Facebook. Yeah, saying send us feedback.
What do you want?
Yeah. So
now I did specifically say. Send us an email. Tell us what you want gun-related for Christmas. And two Bryans, whose last name will remain unnamed or unsaid, replied to that on Facebook. So just to spite you guys, because I'm mean like that, I didn't put your stuff in the show. Because I
which we may go dig up and do if we run short and need more time.
I will talk more about other stuff, about how my gun is not a 1911.
All that and more.
So, do you want me to take this first one since you guys have read things now and I haven't?
Yes, it's your turn.
Okay, I'll take this one. I like having a turn. It's nice that we share.
Omen is my friend.
Okay. This is from Mark. Dear Warning Shot McSanta. I would ask for an AR-15 with a 22 kit for my son. For my son and I. Apostrophe.
I love it.
Comma, rather. Comma.
No, use an apostrophe because
apostrophe
that makes
and
way
a
less.
Comma so that I can accentuate that pause. It can be a plural pause.
A plural
both
pause.
Both of you will pause with at the comma. But I can't imagine you getting an ATT. How about a gun cabinet for my future guns with a secret compartment containing a Glock with 1911 sights?
What?
There's a story behind this. I'll explain it. Thanks, Mark Price. P.S. I've been a good boy this year.
I like the idea of a Glock with 1911 sights. Because 1911 sights, well, at least the new ones anyway, they're pretty good.
Mark, do you guys know who Mark Price is?
No.
Mark is the guy I took shooting back a month or so ago with his son.
And you made become the gunsmith.
And you made fun of him on the show.
I did?
Quite severely. Yes, you did. Insulted him. And
what?
His son's name. You insulted his son's name. You made fun of his son's name.
Because his son's name's Hunter, isn't it?
No, it's Justice.
Oh, Justice. That's right. That's an
apparently
epic
it's a family name.
Name.
It's his grandfather's name.
Did I make fun of
name.
Justice?
Yeah, you did.
It sounds about right.
Justice is an awesome name. Justice. This
so
is my son. Justice. No, come on, that's a cool name.
Pretty much, he'd already been signed up for the non-restricted. As soon as he shot the guns at the range, he went and signed up for the next month. He was able to get into a restricted course.
Nice.
So he's already signed up to take that. And, he's planning to get an AR with a 22 conversion kit and gun cabinet and all this stuff. He shot both my Glock and my GSG.
Oh, I see what's going on.
He'd like the GSG sights better, which kind of makes sense. So. Anyway, that's the backstory. Thank you, Mark, for writing in.
I got to go back and listen to that episode now because I can't see myself picking on a name like Justice.
I do remember the name Justice, and I do remember us commenting on it. I thought it was all good stuff, though.
No, he commented to me afterwards. Well, I was like, yeah, they can be kind of jerks like that.
I think maybe I might have said, who names their son Justice?
Yeah, maybe that was it.
That might have been it. And basically what I meant by that, Mark, was somebody awesome, obviously. Because you're super cool.
That's what we call backpedaling.
Yes, rapid, in fact.
Snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. All right, somebody else take this next one.
Well, it's short, so Trevor, take it away. All right, then I'm reading the next two.
You can read them all. You won't make any less of a dick.
So am I really reading it?
All right, I'll read it. I was sorting ammo. It says, this is from Wes. Hi, I'm one of your fans in the States. I can't help you with the Facebook thing because I don't do that. So he's talking about, you know, like our Facebook page, which we don't need anyone to like again for a long time. Thank you, Talking Lead. 895 likes and counting. Squirrel. Matthew, you have a jewel of a wife. I see what he did there. I can tell from her voice she has a sense of humor, which is all important. I also watched you and her in a 22 rifle unboxing video once. Keep up the good work. You also, Ron Burgundy. What do you mean, me also? Thank you.
Yes, Wes. And Jewel thanks you, too. I read her that email when it came in, and she turned red. She's like, oh, I can't believe I'm getting listener feedback, and I'm not even on the show.
Red like a ruby?
Yes, like a ruby, because she's a jewel. Huh? Ah, see, those listeners who don't know, my wife's name is Jewel, so there's the joke there. But if you watch that 22 unboxing video, well, I kind of got a good cleavage shot in there, so if you...
Oh my god.
She commented on it actually. I was actually focusing the camera on her unboxing the rifle, and she's like, "Did you get a good shot of my cleavage?" I'm like, "Well, actually I did. Now did you mention it?" Anyhow, I sense a huge hit on my YouTube views in the next coming week. A big spike in 22 unboxing video.
Wait, I'm already there, man.
Oh, that's
only
funny.
I had to say cleavage once. All right. Wow. We're gonna lose our family-friendly rating.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Daddy, what kind of gun is a cleavage?
Oh, it's a big knife, son. A big knife. It's a cleaver. Ah.
Oh.
My bad. Okay. Well, this next one comes to us from Thomas, and this is the same Thomas that hooked me up with the Marlin 70. For those of you who don't like it when I say papoose. He writes, Merry Christmas, Trevor, Matthew, Owen, and Jewel. Look at that. She gets in there again. Screw the politically correct. Happy holidays. Merry effing Christmas. And if you don't like it, go crawl back under the left-hearted rock you crawled out of. Ah, I feel better now, he writes.
I love this guy.
Trevor, my boy, I can do much better than an open carry in Utah. My wife has her restricted, PAL, and ATT. Terry usually buys me guns and gear for Christmas, anniversaries, birthdays, or whenever I whine excessively about a new toy.
Nice.
I always wanted a Grand Power, but Freedom Ventures has never seemed to have the STI version in stock. Last week, I found that Delask had a great deal going on with the new V-Trim model with 3 mags for $540, so Terry bought me the gun and 3 more mags with the money she saved.
Yeah, must be nice.
Luke ordered me an LHS speed rig, and thank you, Luke, for the great service, by the way. My mom bought me 2 CR speed double mag holders. Oh, and Terry also bought a CR speed belt combo, 1,000 plated bullets, and 1,000 primers, so I am good to go.
Will you adopt me, Thomas?
Now, if she would only let me go to the range on Christmas Day so I could actually play with my presents on Christmas Day like all the other kids.
Oh, why not? I've done that. I've gone to the range on Christmas Day.
What's wrong with shooting on Christmas Day? I don't know.
If it's in your training plan as a practice day, you go. Jesus understands.
I have nothing going on that day.
Christmas? We could go to the range. Idea. I'm sure I can get, you know, just leave. I'm going to visit friends. That's what you do on Christmas. We're just meeting at the range and making a lot of noise with our guns. No?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Anyway, he continues on. One last thing, one last gun-related item. I'd like to ask for this Christmas. I'd like to hear Andrew and CRR again. Chris Anderson Presents has always been a favorite show, but the Smurf is nowhere to be found these days except on Facebook. And George is in Wanda Land these days, which is a good thing. So, how about a Christmas or New Year's show with all of you on at once? Have Andy, Chris, George as a guest. Okay. And Brian, too. Best not to forget Jewel, either. That would be the bestest Christmas present ever for us listeners. And he signs off, Thomas. Well, Thomas, this is the Christmas show. This is what you get. I hope you like it.
Yeah, sorry. As good as it's going to get.
We don't know how to plan things, and...
Well, there is something in the works, Thomas. There will be roundtable shows once a month or once every couple of months where the Canadian podcasters who are available at the time will get together and record together, because we like that kind of back and forth, just fun, unscripted banter. So when the new network gets up and running, that's something that will be in the works. So not this Christmas, but we'll have you one for next Christmas, pal.
You see how Trevor promises things a year in advance so that when it doesn't happen, he can just say, well, I forgot.
Three things that I did that it didn't happen.
Name three things from a year ago.
The Leafs lost.
No, that happens every year.
Well, then all right. I bought a gun.
You buy a gun every year.
You sold a gun.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right.
I was still gainfully employed. There. Owen, take Kyle's and dig us out of this hole, please.
All right. He says, hey, guys, there's nothing on my wish list this year because, well, everything's been bought.
I hear you, brother.
I think I hate this guy already. My parents asked me what I wanted, so I told them a CASM scope mount from M14.ca, which is now sitting underneath our tree. I promised myself I'd make one big purchase, so I got a Desert Tan Archangel stock for my M14. I got a little trigger happy with the credit card, though, and picked up a FDE AFG as well.
Flat Dark Earth.
Yes. And yet
angled foregrip. Another...
Thank you. I wanted to do that one too, but I thought too much douchery.
Oh, I will step up to that.
And yet another Blue Force Gear VCAS sling. This is my fourth now. When I found out last Tuesday that I won tickets to the winter, man, I really hate this guy. I won tickets
Stop
to the
hating. Winter. Where's your Christmas spirit?
Winter Classic hockey game in Detroit. Since I live in Thunder Bay, I won't be going to the game. Oh, send them to me. That would be an awesome Christmas spirit present.
Wait a second. A hockey game in Detroit? Can we go on wearing plates?
Yeah,
you exactly. would have to.
So instead, I sold the tickets to my sister and her boyfriend and used the money to buy a Vortex Diamondback 3-9x40 scope with a BDC reticle.
Good choice.
That is a good choice.
I still need an SCI muzzle brake, a Harris bipod, and 5 more mags before the M14 is finished. But it's been enough on gun parts this year.
Hey, the good news is next year is just around the corner.
That's right.
Too bad the visa bill didn't go to zero at midnight.
Oh, that's funny. That's what he just says next. Oh, I should have read ahead.
That being said, the new year starts in 60 days, so I have plenty of time to finish it up then. And referring to the credit card to finish it off. I'm hoping everything arrives before 26, because that's when my sister's boyfriend arrives in town, and he wants me to take him shooting. Of course, I'm happy to oblige. Merry Christmas, Kyle.
Very cool. Yeah, it's always nice to take family out to the range and let them play around with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Yep.
Yeah, sounds like you've got yourself a nice little Christmas tree to open up this year. You're going to, yeah, lots of gun-related stuff. I'm almost jealous.
I want to see that M14 when it's all done. And
I want to see it on a scale and see it weigh less than 20 pounds. without you holding it up.
With the Archangel stock, and if it's a shorty?
It sure. might, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is that stock basically the same as what they put on stick on the 1022, same style?
I think so, yeah. It's pistol grip with a collapsible buttstock, I think.
Kind of a big rail on the top.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm too lazy to Google it. Anyway, if it's anything like the 1022 Archangel, burn it and send it to hell. Just saying.
It could be better
well,
if it's
I
made
just mean
for
in
the
style. Yeah, I just mean in style, like style-wise, not in quality or in.
I find the stocks made for centerfire rifles a bit beefier and a bit more better built than the ones for rimfire. Anyway, so you should be okay, even if it is an Archangel.
Yep, the ATI 1022 stock is fine.
That is true.
Archangel one was just so cheesy. It felt like I turned my gun into an airsoft gun.
Yep, and that is the ultimate sin, basically.
Yep. Here I was thinking it was murder.
No.
Like, no, it's making your guns look like airsoft guns.
That's it right there. You got to paint the orange muzzle, or the muzzle orange, though.
Yeah, I should have.
That'd be kind of funny, actually.
Speaking of which, does anybody know where I can get a Glock airsoft gun?
Yes, online?
There's an online store. Start hanging out with the kids in the airsoft forums, Owen. You'll figure it out. Quickly.
I hear what you're saying, though.
It really is a cool gas-operated Glock 17 that is identical, and you can take the orange off the tip, no problem. It's barely put on there. I think it's barely put on there on purpose.
And by the way, that's not illegal in Canada. Some people say it is, but it's not. That is an American law. In Canada, toy guns do not need to have the orange tip.
That's right.
Oh, and there's a cool YouTube video about the Glock 17 that runs on gas, propane. Actually, this guy runs it on YouTube. Okay. Like a part one and part two unboxing and then shooting.
So are we seriously discussing airsoft on this show?
Yeah, it's a great training tool.
It is.
If we could get a gymnasium, we could shoot airsoft IPSC all winter long to keep some of our skills up. Like
by we, you mean slam fire? Because I'm pretty sure we could just build a gymnasium. Right, guys? No?
I think by we, he means him.
Oh.
Because I probably wouldn't do that.
Shoot airsoft inside? See, I would, but against you guys.
Yeah, I would do it as a force on force, but not.
Oh yeah, we could do that too.
Is that why you want these Glock 17 airsofts?
No. Oh. I just want one for training.
Isn't that a good idea? Shouldn't you and I each get one and Trevor two, and we can gang up on them?
Yes,
or,
absolutely.
Or
we could get the actual paint marking ones like Rod Giltaka has.
Yeah, I'm wondering what
simulations.
I wonder what the price would be on those.
I've looked into that, but I've never really been able to get a firm price or I'm not 100% sure on whether a lot of companies won't sell to civilians, I don't think.
Yeah, but you can import that stuff. You can.
It's pretty pricey too.
Yeah.
Because it's not just as simple as, okay, put a different bullet in.
It's a different gun altogether.
Oh, yeah. You can use your restricted frame, but the cool thing is if you import or if you actually buy the simunition gun, it's not actually a firearm in Canada. Oh, okay. So you can actually use it on your private property without having to go to the range.
Yep.
Still, they made them register it.
They did, but you wouldn't. I mean, if you did it, Owen, or did it, we wouldn't because we're not required to by law. So, I mean, they kind of twisted his arm, but.
Okay.
Anyhow, airsoft does work for that as well.
Look into that some more. Yeah. So there's another email here,
right? From Dirty.
Dirty.
Yeah, and he writes, "Yo dogs, I want a big bag of weed for Christmas." I'm thinking he means dandelions, right? Pretty sure dandelions.
Yep.
My parents probably won't get me one, but that's what I want. Also, my homeboy, Double Up Buck, said it best, a high point be mo better than a Glock 18 because you can leave it on the TTC bus. So I want one. I wouldn't get the 380, though, like Trevor's lady friend. I'd probably get a full 50? 40? I don't know.
Full 50. That's what it says. It says F-O.
Full 50. I'd get a 450?
I don't know.
Okay. Much sexier.
Probably a 45.
And maybe. Oh, full 50. Full 5. Yeah, maybe what he means is a 45. I don't know. Anyway, I don't speak gangster. Much sexier and much more reliable than Trevor's 1911s. Merry Christmas and all the best to you and your homeboys in the new year. Dirty. P.S. Also loved hearing Zero and Left Ear from the Walking Dead podcast. I'm pretty sure it was the Talking Lead, but anyway, you should have them on more often. So, Zero and Left Ear. That's close enough.
Thanks, Dirty.
Oh, that is funny in a...
Oh, look at that. The next one comes to us from somebody named Chris. Coincidence, maybe?
Except it's a different Chris.
Yeah. Chris says, hi, all. Do you guys have an update on Dan Bilofsky's case against the Ontario CFO?
Now, if this email sounds familiar, it's because we read it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
when we said, no, yeah. We don't have an update. But now we do.
So I sent Dan a Facebook message, and he says, just at the appeals, I said, Dan, any news, any updates? And he replied, just that the appeal's been filed with the Ontario Court of Appeal. It will be heard. The only question is when. Happy holidays, Dan.
And that comes to us from Chris, freezing in Calgary, just the same as it was last time.
So hopefully that helps, Chris. I'm not sure if you've got any updates anywhere else in the meantime, but there you have it.
Now you know. And what we will be doing is having Dan back on the show once there is some sort of decision made, so... That will be cool. I guess up next we have a couple of... Well, actually, we have one audio submission from 10X. And then we have a celebrity audio submission. Here's the one from 10X.
Gentlemen, before 9X and I settled down to watch our favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard, I thought I would record this message for the listeners and hosts of Slamfire Radio. You had asked me what I would like for Christmas. Well, what I would really like is for the government of Canada to move towards repealing Section 91 and 92 of the Firearms Act, and thus decriminalising firearms ownership in Canada. But I suspect that this might be beyond the power of St. Nicholas himself. However, continued pressure from Canadian firearms owners might make a difference, and personally, I believe that that pressure could result in rolling ATTs into firearms licences, and that may well be done before the next general election. But beyond all my purely selfish needs, I would like to wish a happy, safe and prosperous Christmas and a new year for all the Slamfire audience and hosts. Best regards and sorry from Peter, Marites and Simon Dawson.
All right, well, thank you to 10X for sending that in. Apparently Owen and Trevor could not hear that. Is that correct, guys?
Oh, I heard that one. I haven't heard the other one yet, so... That
oh, okay, but
one.
You couldn't hear it while I was playing it?
That is correct.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought it would pipe through, but I guess not.
Yeah, normally you get that right.
Yeah, well, this time I didn't. Anyway, we'll...
Here we are.
I'll make sure the listeners get to hear it, because that's the important part. Yeah, I don't know, because we have another audio submission here, which is another file. It's from James Bond, but you guys aren't going to be able to hear it. So if you guys want to play it now while I play it for the listeners, you're welcome. Anyway, other than that...
Now, the question is, which James Bond?
Oh, it's the only James Bond. It's Sean Connery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know he has, like, the Guinness World Record for being in more films than anybody else?
James Bond?
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's not a Guinness Book of World Records, but yeah, he's been in more films than any other actor in history.
Wow. That's cool. Okay, well, I'm going to play it for the listeners.
Okay, can I play it for myself?
Go for it.
What's gone? Where'd it go?
Mute your mic.
Hello, Slamfire Radio. This is Sean Connery, the best Bond ever. I'd just like to take this time to wish all the listeners and hosts of Slamfire Radio a very Merry Christmas. Mind you, McClatchy, you never saw me fire a warning shot. And Fluellen, the supposed warrior, what kind of a grown man still plays with swords? And even if he is Ron Burgundy, it's still a bloody 1911. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Trevor, did you get to hear that yet?
No, it's not in the inbox. Did you move it?
Oh, yeah, I probably did. Yeah, it's not there anymore. Anyway, he basically makes fun of you because it's easy to do. And, oh, and you too. And, well, me. He makes fun of all of us because, Bond is awesome.
Hardly seems fair that he gets to make fun of us and we don't get to hear it.
Okay, well, Owen, he called you less a man for playing with swords still, made fun of me for firing warning shots because Bond never fired a warning shot, which I'm sure somewhere in the movie he did. He's got to have. Oh,
no.
Come on.
No.
I don't know. I've seen the way they shoot in the movies.
They're probably all warning shots.
There was a lot of warning shots.
Have you ever seen the A-Team shoot?
Misses are not warning shots.
They are when I shoot.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, that joke fell flat.
Yeah, well, that's because I was typing.
That was a joke? My bad. I missed it. I'm sorry. Try Red Wolf Airsoft. Look them up on Facebook.
All right, so from Russia with Love quote, the quote is, get out of the way, give them a warning shot.
Can't believe you just did that.
Yep, just looked it up.
Fantastic. Your Google foo is strong. I mean, that took you no time at all.
Anyway, 10X and Sean Connery, both of you, thank you for sending in listener audio submission feedbacks, because those are always fun to listen to. I really enjoy them. So, yeah.
Oh, I just got a Facebook message from Jarlath, also known as Mike Dinoven of CSSA Notoriety. And he says, damn it, I told you to remind me earlier. I ended up going to my children's scout Christmas. That's all he said. I ended up going to my children's scout Christmas.
See, Jarlath was going to be on the show tonight with us to talk about the CSSA, but, he didn't make it, so.
Didn't show up yet.
This isn't the CSSA episode. It's the Christmas episode now, so.
And he
we'll have him on again sometime.
He's as bad as Owen. Owen goes to work instead of doing the show. This guy hangs up with his children instead of doing the show.
Yeah, you guys got to get your priorities straight. Hey, Trevor, my kids were having fun tonight. I said, okay, it's time to go to bed. I got a show to record. And I sent them all to bed.
That's the way it should be. And then you looked for a bottle of scotch that your wife hid on you.
And that's right. Well, no, I couldn't find it, now. So I had to pull out the bottle I bought tonight.
Classic. We have
an iTunes review.
Yeah. This one is from XM Dude, and it's also on the U.S.
XDM Dude,
yeah. It comes from the U.S. side of the iTunes.
We're still working through those, right? Because you have a whole list of them.
And I have to type them in word for word. I can't copy and paste. So
really?
Yeah, iTunes won't let you highlight text. Yeah, it's really irritating.
Huh.
XDM Dude says, I listen to CRR and like it, but this is a great format. One of the best shows, and I listen to a lot of shows. P.S. The 2011's Boar is no lower than my 226 Elite Seo. Just saying. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure a 1911's Boar Axis would be lower than a 226. It's got to be.
Got to be.
It doesn't have to be, I guess, but I always thought it was. I don't know. I feel like the hammer is hinged higher up on the SIGs than it is on the 1911s, and so the barrel is slightly higher. But, I mean, this guy owns one, maybe two, so, you know, I'm not going to say he's wrong, but...
I don't know, man. You look at a SIG, and it's like four stories of slide above the trigger guard.
That's what it feels like, and that's what it looks like, too. I don't know.
The muzzle flip is like an Olympic diver backflipping off a diving board. I mean, it's just...
You know, the Secret Service used to carry the SIG 228s.
And, it's no secret now.
No, it's not, but... Well, you know,
Special Forces
did,
too. And, if I'm correct, didn't... Yeah, Canadian Navy.
Canadian Navy shot the SIG 238, I believe.
Yeah, right? They had four.
It was a SIG, but still.
Yeah.
They had four.
Well, yeah,
they shared
one
among
for each
16
ship.
Of them.
Only two
ships. Here is a depressing statistic. There are more personnel on one U.S. aircraft carrier than the entire Canadian Navy.
Is that actually true?
That is
That's
true.
All we need.
I was told that while getting a tour of a Canadian naval ship in Halifax.
Just because we have the largest undefended coastline in the world doesn't mean we need a strong navy.
That's why it's undefended. We got nobody to defend it with.
Well, the polar bears defend it for us up north, right?
Yeah.
I'm not messing with no polar bear.
Yeah, and Russia, bugger off. The North Pole is ours.
Always
Santa
has
is
been.
Canadian, not Russian.
He wears a red suit, not a...
white suit.
Yeah.
No hammer and sickle on his uniform.
Nah, that's the old flag. It would be red and yellow, though, right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is Santa has the coolest superpowers of any superhero ever.
Well, he can defy the laws of physics.
Absolutely. He can go up and down chimneys, which means he can, like, vaporize and get into these small spaces. But that's not even the beginning of Santa's superpowers. The coolest superpowers he has... Okay, he knows if you're good or bad. So what's that tell you right off the bat?
Well, he's the NSA, basically.
He knows who the villains are, and he knows who the good guys are. So there's never any mistaken, oh, damn, I killed an innocent by mistake. No, he knows if you've been naughty. He knows if you've been nice. So he knows who's good and bad. And the spooky part of it all is he knows when you're awake, and he knows when you're asleep. Or he sees you when you're sleeping, and he sees you when you're awake, something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He knows who's bad, and he knows if they're asleep, and he can sneak into your home undetected. That's a superpower.
Sit
I
on
want.
You.
Or he's just the NSA, one or the other.
I don't think so. No. He can swoop in, slit the enemy's throat, swoop out again, and he can do it all within one night.
I don't know. They describe him as a jolly fellow. I don't see him swooping anywhere.
I'm just saying, that, like, if this was a comic book hero, he'd have kick-ass superpowers. Think about it.
In I'm not going
undetected,
to.
Knows who's good, knows who's bad, knows when you're awake, and knows
okay,
when
okay. Tell us your shout-outs here, Trevor, because you have some.
Did you know that he has to hit 839 houses a second?
See what I'm saying? Not even Flash Gordon can go that fast.
Trace.
That's phenomenal. I want Santa's superpowers.
So, shout-outs?
To the boys at Al's Pizzeria, I walk in the other day to get a donair because that's all Brian and I talk about these days on Facebook is donairs. I've eaten three this week. My wife only knows about one. Thank goodness. I walk up to the cash and I hear the guy say, Ruger. I look up and said, did you just say Ruger? He said, yeah, Ruger 1022. It's an awesome gun. He doesn't know me or I could be a liberal or nothing, but he's like, boom, Ruger 1022.
And if I'd been there, I would have been, well, actually, a 795 is a much better platform.
Got all high and mighty on instead of trying to make a friend. So, yeah, needless to say, by the time I got the donairs home, they were cold. So, we did a lot of yakking, and I suggested that maybe we hit the range up sometime, me and the two donair super twins. And,
nice.
I told them about Slam Fire Radio, wrote it down for them and stuff. So, hey, dudes maybe. From Al's Pizzeria, if you're listening, my name is Trevor. I didn't introduce myself. Look me up on Facebook, and we'll hit the range sometime. To Jessica, for flipping off an elf, I like the cut of your jib, lady. And to Roger and Luke Giroux, for coming to the rescue with cleaning media. I put the call out on Facebook, and Roger hooked me up with 5 pounds, and then Luke hooked me up with 5 pounds. So when one is worn out, the other one will I'll be all set, ready to go.
Awesome.
That's so let the brass cool. cleaning continue.
Yeah. That's always good. I don't really have any shout-outs except Thomas, of course, for the... and also, actually, I should mention... Oh, what was the name of that store? Hi-Cal? No. High Point? No. Was it Hi-Cal? Hi-Cal.net. Is that a store in Canada?
Never heard of it.
Hi-Cal.net? Yes. Hi-Cal. That's where I got the handguard for Owen.
Okay. Anyway, they had... see, I'm putting my new Marlin build into the ATI stock that Jules is in because I kind of like that stock anyway, and I wanted one that's sort of pistol grippy. Anyway, so I find one, and they normally sell for a certain amount, which I can't remember what they normally sell for. Not very much, anyway.
Hi-Cal.ca, sorry.
Hi-Cal.ca, that's it.
That's it.
And anyway, so Hi-Cal had them on their website for sale, but they were priced a little higher than what they normally sell for, and so I was like, well, they're the only one in stock, and I don't normally tell stores what they should sell their stuff for because it's their store and they can sell it for whatever they want, but I didn't want to pay that much, so I sent them an email and said, I don't suppose you could adjust the price a little bit on that stock. It's kind of priced higher than normal, but then again, I did say this in the email, you are the only one with them in Canada in stock, so I guess maybe the price is exactly where it needs to be. But, you know, I'd kind of like it, and I'd, you know, would you consider a deal? And he actually gave me a deal on it, a pretty good deal. So,
nice.
You know, I'm kudos looking at to them.
I'm looking at the M14 Archangel stock, Owen.
Yeah.
And it looks like a Macmillan tactical, like, you know, the Macmillan sniper rifle, bolt action.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like that. It's got an adjustable butt plate, adjustable cheek piece.
Okay.
It's sexy.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Anyway, those are that's my only shout out. Owen, you got any?
Yeah, I don't have any shout outs this week.
Cool. All right. Well.
So yeah. So be sure to join one or both of our firearms associations, the NFA, CSSA. They don't show up, I guess. But no, I'm just kidding. Join both. They're both great organizations with slightly different focuses, but they're both doing great work in Canada. So, all three of us encourage you to join them. Check out check us out on GOC. Check out GOC in general. But yeah, I guess continue to like us on Facebook because more is never enough. We're at 895. We should do something special when we hit 1,000. You know,
rub it in other people's faces even more.
Well, I mean, we're gonna do that anyway, but. Okay. Other than that, we should do something special for the listeners. You know, we should do something special. So sometime between now and 1,000, we'll come up with some harebrained idea, and you know, maybe we'll do a contest. No, we won't do a contest.
No, we never get contests done.
No,
we're horrible at that.
We'll figure something out. We should do something special. 1,000 is a nice number.
1,000 is a nice number.
And be sure to check out all the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which features dozens of Canadian-based outdoor podcasts, as well as the as well as the Crusader Podcast Network, which features a bigger dozen of great American and Canadian pro gun podcasts, in multiple tons, Canadian imperial tons. Of
no, metric tons. T-O-N-N-E-S is metric tons, yeah.
Canadian and imperial.
Oh, both types of tons.
Both types of tons. Well, there's Canadian and American podcasts.
Right, so, suppose.
So there's American tons of material, and there's Canadian tons of material on there as well. So.
Oh, my God. I was just told I need to buy a ton of ice cream, so we gotta wrap this up there. The princess needs some ice cream.
All right, then. Thanks for
take somebody shooting.
Goodbye.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over,
it's time to get a gun. How much success in a sport would you have before you decided you were worthy of your own Facebook page?
I'm going to start my own for Ipsic shooting.
I'm just going to start the Owen is Awesome page.
I'm going to put mine under athlete. You can put yours under, like, I can't think of anything of that mystery. Won't get me stabbed. So you just go ahead.
I'll just put it Man of Mystery.
Man of Mystery. Owen Fewelling, Man of Mystery.
So that wasn't so much an opportunity for you guys to ramble on like idiots. It was more of a question.
I like our version better.
What? Do you want a Facebook page about yourself?
Of course not. My ego will never be that big. You know, seriously, though.
Never trust a fart to footed pajamas.
Oh, my God. Never trust a fart what?
To footed pajamas. Oh.
You ever notice, though, footed pajamas always have the butt flap?
Yep.
That's like the check valve on your hot water tank. Speaking of check valves on hot water tanks, Owen, how do I get more water in the bowl of my toilet?
You can't.
Christina's convinced that when we first moved in, there was more water would come into the boil of the toilet.
So I don't know if you have a tipper valve, or I don't know what you have in there.
Is that you, Christina? Okay, because if you were a burglar, I was going to shoot you in your face. Christina, Owen says you're right.
Does that mean I get to charge you for the rest of the show?
I hope you're happy. Now he's going to send us a bill.